Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our risen and exalted Lord. Amen. God's word for our consideration on this festival of Christ's resurrection is found recorded in Matthew 28, the first 10 verses. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So far the text. The name of Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, dearly beloved Easter congregation, when was the last time you paid a visit to a cemetery? Maybe on the occasion of the funeral of a loved one. Maybe you have a tradition of visiting the final resting place of dear ones on the Memorial Day holiday or the anniversary of their passing. When we visit grave sites of loved ones, a spouse, a father, mother, grandparent, friend, what thoughts generally course through our heads when we are there? Isn't it natural, of course, that we have a sense of still of loss? We miss that person. The times we had together, the fun things we did. Perhaps also we might even think to ourselves, if only I could just see them again, hear the sound of their voice, spend more months and years in their company. Well, on this Easter morning, we want to consider a very comforting thought of Scripture, that it is just because of the events in a cemetery long ago that we will spend more time with loved ones who have fallen asleep in Christ, and not just a little time, but limitless time. And not only with them, but our highest joy as Christians is that we will spend more time, in fact, a life of perfect joy forever with our beloved Savior Jesus. Our text is Matthew's account of the Easter story, the events that transpired on that very first Easter long ago. Early on Sunday morning, we read how there were these two Marys who walked out to the cemetery where Jesus' dead body had been laid to rest. It is not mentioned here in Matthew, but the other gospel writers inform us about the reason that they were going out to the burial site, and that was to carry out what they thought would be the last act of devotion they could show toward Jesus. Joseph and Nicodemus, the two courageous men who got permission from the governor to take Jesus' body down from the cross on late Friday afternoon, had wrapped Jesus' lacerated corpse in linen and then had laid it in the tomb. And it was all a rather hasty performance of the burial that they had carried out. And then they put Jesus' body in that cave hewn from a rock near the execution site. So the ladies, what their plan was now, was to go out and do a more complete job of embalming Jesus' body, doing it upright the best way possible for their Lord, whom they had faithfully served and dearly loved. You can imagine how they were feeling as they trudged slowly the path out to the cemetery early in that morning darkness, similar to the feelings that we have when visiting graves of loved ones. Profound sorrow, melancholy, deep sense of loss, minds dizzy with grief, thinking how we miss Jesus. If only we could spend more time with him, do things for him like we did when he was with us. If we could just hear the sound of his voice and listen to the lovely lessons of the word that he had shared with us. But their heaviness of heart, their depression, was about to be changed to deepest joy and highest euphoria. For as they drew near the graveyard, as we heard, all of a sudden they felt that earthquake, ground shaking under their feet as God's angel descended from heaven to push away the heavy boulder blocking the tomb's entrance. And the angel, shining with the brilliance of heavenly glory and dressed in gleaming white clothes, then said to the two women, "Fear not. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen as he said. See the place where he lay. Go quickly now and tell the disciples. He's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee, where you'll see him." And as they hastened away from the tomb to go tell the disciples, the exciting, too good to be true, but it was true news, the Lord himself appeared, probably said something like, "Good morning, how are you? Greetings." He did say that, we know that. "Greetings, ladies." And then transformed in this way their glum, gloomy depression to the highest happiness. Friends, it's what the risen Savior Jesus continues to do for us today. He changes for us the darkness of Good Friday, where we witnessed in spirit his gory, gruesome death on the cross for our sins, to joyful Easter brightness and happiness, assuring us by the gospel message of his atoning death on the cross and triumphant resurrection that death had no ability to hold him, the Lord of life, the Almighty Savior, in its grasp. And it cannot keep those who trust in him as Savior in its grasp either. As the hymn writer wrote, "The foe was triumphant, the devil went on Calvary, the Lord of creation was nailed to the tree, and Satan's domain did the hosts shout and jeer, for Jesus was slain whom the evil ones fear, but short was their triumph, the Savior arose, and death, hell, and Satan, he vanquished his foes. The conquering Lord lifts his banner on high. He lives, yes, he lives, and will nevermore die." We won't either, at least not in the full sense of that word death. We have been given the victory, haven't we, over death. It has lost its sting along with our risen Lord. For us, it's only a sleep or a nap from which he will rouse us. And then we'll spend more time with him. In fact, even now, Before then, we get to spend more time with Jesus, don't we, during the days of our earthly pilgrimage, as we gather around his word, here at his house, in worship, in Bible class, in family devotions that you conduct at home. How does that passage go? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of you. When you open your Bible and read the words of eternal life, the Holy Spirit caused to be recorded there. That word that he uses to fortify your faith connection to him and bless you with the resilience you need to meet life's challenges. You have any challenges? Health-related, work-related, family-related? Yes, we all do. The Lord uses his word to bless us with victorious Christian living, knowing he's guiding our life, with direction for our lives as we live as his people in a spiritually confused, trouble-filled, crazy, evil world, buoying up our spirits with his golden promise also that we're going to spend more time with dear ones who have died in him. And then when he calls them from this life into his heavenly presence, it's not goodbye. See you later. Remember how Paul wrote to the Christians at Thessalonica, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him on that glorious day to come. He will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we Christians who are alive on that last day, if it should happen in our lifetime, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be ever with the Lord, with all the saints who from their labors rest." Did you notice also, friends, the special term that Jesus used to describe his disciples here in this Easter text when he had his rendezvous with those ladies on the road that day? He said, "Do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And so too, the risen Lord, very great comfort, isn't it, to think about how the great God of heaven, our Lord and Savior, considers us to be his brothers and his sisters, his family members whom he loves, with whom he intends to spend a lot of time with us every day now, providing us every day with our earthly needs, and then all our soul needs throughout the duration of our earthly pilgrimage by his precious gospel, and then finally taking us to himself, where we will be taken care of in a very special personal way, one-on-one way, when we're at his side in heaven. This is the blessed assurance that Easter gives. And one other thought, a very important one, that we want to draw from this text. We're told how that when that angel of God appeared and spoke to the women, he instructed them, "Go quickly and tell his disciples all about how Jesus has risen from the dead." Focus on that word, tell. So in other words, don't keep the news of your risen Savior, his glorious victory over death and the grave, a secret, but share it. That's a good reminder for us as Christians that Jesus' gracious will also for us, his family members, is that we who have heard the good news of his Easter victory, we who have become recipients of the blessings of God's grace, his gifts of forgiveness and eternal life in Christ, tell these things, speak these things to others around us as the Lord blesses us with opportunities, friends, family members, neighbors, people we work with. Also good to keep in mind that we are privileged as Christians to spread the good news of Jesus, of his death and resurrection for us, sometimes without even saying any words, by the lives that we are leading for his praise, by the Christ-like attitudes that we project in our associations with others. And also think about another way that we can encourage and foster the ministry, the gospel, the prayers that we offer to the Lord for our Christian missionaries. Like, for example, the third missionary that recently was called and sent over to Tanzania, just taking up his ministry there, Pastor Bruce Nauman, and our other Christian missionaries, and our local congregation's ministry work here in the Denver area, praying that the good news that we have a living Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. He was dead, but is alive forever, and is going to return to receive us to himself. Lord, help us to spread far and wide that message for the blessing of many souls. So may the Lord grant. He bless the message of Easter in our own hearts for our comfort and encouragement, and may it also then be a message that we seek to share for the comfort of many others, the good news of Christ, our living Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.